Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
A few weeks ago, when I was reading from John chapter 7 through John chapter 11 in preparation for the Bible Bowl, and some passages that stuck out in my mind, and that's why we're going tonight in regard to the lesson. So I've switched up from Malachi to John chapter 7. And in John chapter 7 and verse 37 through 39, Jesus declares that He is indeed the one through whom man must drink in order to have sustaining life. Also, though, He draws out in the context that the Holy Spirit plays a very significant role in that, and you and I know today that it is through the inspired Word that the Holy Spirit is responsible for in the conveyance of God's message that we come to understand God, and therefore we drink of Christ whenever we receive Christ in baptism and walk in accordance to the will of God, and the Holy Spirit plays that role because of the fact that He has delivered God's communicated Word to us. As I look to the words of Christ here concerning the fact that man must drink of Him, come unto Him and drink of Him, I got to asking, what is the backdrop as to all that is going on here in the context? If you look to the immediate context, we understand concerning the Lord's brothers that they questioned Him. These men had grown up with our Lord, and in this, no doubt, they had seen the way in which He had behaved Himself as a sibling, as a young boy even. Yet at the same time, as He began to grow and they saw that He was not just your typical young man, your typical brother, I believe that certainly things must have stood out in their mind that they would have questioned, is it at all possible that indeed He is the Christ, that He is the Son of God that was coming out later on in His life? Yet at the same time, in the context, we understand that they said, if indeed You do these things, show Yourself unto the world. They questioned who He was, and they challenged Him in the context that if indeed You are who you say that You are, if You're able to do the things that You are seemingly able to do, then why don't You show Yourself unto the world? In this, the same passage here declares unto us that they questioned Jesus as to whether or not He was indeed the Christ. They themselves did not believe in Him. They doubted Him. In this, the Scripture also tells us that the Feast of Tabernacle was at hand. After our Lord's brothers identify in regard to the way in which they feel about Him, they were trying to get Him to go up for this feast and to reveal Himself there before the people. Yet at the same time, Jesus declared unto them that His hour was not yet come. It was not yet time for Him to die at Calvary's cross, for these things to be revealed, and then therefore for Him to die for the sins of man. Yet at the same time, the Scripture tells us in John chapter 7 and verse 10 that after His brothers had gone up, He also went up to the feast, but He did not go up openly, but rather He went up in secret. And when He was there, we find that certainly there was a division amongst the people. Some thought that He was good, but yet at the same time, others thought contrary to this, is that He was one who deceived the people, that He Himself was an evil teacher. And in this, though, we find that as Jesus declares in regard to the fact of who He is and what He has come to do, that He is superior than Moses and that these individuals had exalted Moses, then we find that in the context many people believe, but yet the Pharisees sought to take Him. The Pharisees despised our Lord. The Pharisees sought time and again to destroy our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the midst of what is going on here with the Feast of Tabernacle, we find is that Jesus stood up in the midst of them and He cried out. That's what we read in the context here. And in this was on the last day of the great feast. And as I look to the context of what is said here, that Jesus stood up and cried out, good people, I believe that it's significant to point out that He stood up. Why? Because according to what we read in John chapter 8 and verse 2, He didn't stand up there. And usually what we find is that He did not stand when He was teaching, but rather He sat. Why did He stand? I would say maybe to draw their attention or to get them to understand that what He was saying was very powerful, that it had great significance to it, and He cried out. If you look to the words of Christ periodically throughout Scripture, you're going to find is that seldom does He raise His voice, but here the Scripture says that He cried out. And what did He say to them? If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Verse 37. Verse 38. He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Why did he say this? What did it all mean? What was going on in the backdrop of all of this? Good people, the great feast that was there was the Feast of Tabernacle. It is also referred to by the Jews as the Feast of Booths, or the Feast of Ingathering. The Feast of Booths is symbolic in the fact that it reminded them of their ancestors and their dwelling in the booths for the wilderness wandering for some 40 years. In this, these Jews had lived in the booths during the week of this great festival, and these booths were made of willow branches and of palm leaves. Leviticus chapter 23, verses 40 and 43. And also, though, as we think in regard to it being called the Feast of Ingathering, it was somewhat of an agricultural feast. And it was after the harvest was gathered, and the harvest there would have been barley, wheat, and grapes. And it was their way of identifying the blessings that God had bestowed upon them. It was their way of giving thanks unto God by going through this ceremony, by participating in this great feast. But also, it was their way of requesting of God that God would continue to bless them in the year to come. The ceremony itself consisted of a sacrificial offering of 70 bulls for the 70 nations of the earth at that known time. Also, there were 446 priests involved, as well as a corresponding number of Levites, and 21 trumpets sounded in the temple court as a way of celebration before the people of that day. And a central focus of this wonderful feast centered in and around the water ritual. Good people, every morning, a priest that was dressed in pure white would lead a group of people down the hill of Jerusalem, down to the pool of Siloam, which was fed by the spring Gihon, and he would take a golden pitcher and raise it above his head, and then take that pitcher and drop it into the pool and allow it to fill to the rim with water. He then would take it and raise it back up before the people, and the people would cry out. According to what we read from the context of Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 3, they would cry out praising God for what He had done. And then He would take and raise it above His head and walk back up to Jerusalem. And there this man would walk at the ramp of the altar of the burnt offering, and he would take that pitcher, that golden pitcher of water, and take a silver funnel and pour the water through the funnel and allow the water to go out onto the ground. And again, the people would rejoice because of the fact that this was their giving thanks unto God, as well as their way of petitioning God to continue to bless them. God would supply them the water source that would supply their livelihood. And it is in the midst of this context that our Lord cries out unto the people that if anyone thirst, let them come and drink unto Him. Can you imagine the confusion or the perplexity of the people of that day? What do you mean saying that you are the living water? What do you mean that we are to come to you and to drink? Good people, our God wanted these individuals to understand that the things that they had been involved in under the Mosaic Law, that they were types and shadows of the ultimate that was to come in and through Jesus Christ our Lord. And this was His way of identifying before the people of that day, is that the things that you have bought into, including this ritual or ceremony, it was only temporary, pointing unto the coming day of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus was saying, here I am. And therefore, whenever this law is done away, you need to put it away and to embrace the new and better covenant according to His standards and according to His salvation. Good people, today, as you and I look to the context of the things that are stated here concerning our Lord, we know that Jesus Christ is our God's water source for you and me, for the life that you and I can and must have in our God, in order for us to have hope beyond this life of an eternal life in heaven with God. And what God offers us is spiritual water. John chapter 4, verses 1 through 20, Our Lord teaches this as He met with a woman, the Samaritan woman there at Jacob's well. In the context here, Jesus comes and He sees this woman at the well and she is taking water from the well. Certainly, she would have understood the necessity of water for her survival as well as for her people. And as Jesus uses the situation there to teach this woman concerning the fact that yes, water is necessary for life, but yet at the same time, there's something that is much more significant and serious, and that is a relationship with God. And the only way that man can have a relationship is if they drink from Him. He told the woman that you will drink from this fountain, and yet at the same time, your thirst will not be quenched. Your thirst will continue to be there. But He says, if you drink from Me, He says, I am indeed that drink that will satisfy you. I am the drink that you need in order for you to have life. Yes, Jesus offers spiritual water, and good people, He offers. He is the one who gives us the life-giving water. The Scripture oftentimes depicts Christ as the one from whom we must drink. But yet at the same time, we understand that we are to be connected unto the vine. Each and every one of us as Christians, we are offsprings from the vine, Jesus Christ our Lord. And it is so significant in order for us to maintain our life in Christ, in order for us to maintain a relationship with our Heavenly Father, that we must stay rooted in and connected with the vine, John chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. And our Lord offers that which is necessary to sustain us as well as to satisfy us. Jesus taught this in the book of Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. He identified in the context there, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And good people, what God expects of mankind today, and He did of those individuals that Jesus spoke to in the book of John chapter 7 during the context there. But the lesson for you and me today is that we need to understand that in order for us to sustain a relationship with our God, in order for us to gain a relationship, we must drink of Christ. We must partake of the life that He gives us. But yet at the same time, in order for us to sustain or to maintain that relationship, we must continue throughout the entirety of our life to drink from Christ. And He is able to satisfy that which we require as spiritual beings. It's interesting as you look through the world, people try to consume what the world has to offer. I've once been there myself, and yet at the same time, we know that may fill us up for a moment, but still it's not satisfactory. We always want more, or we're not happy with what we've got, so we want something else. If you look to even physical drink, we need that, and water is essential for life. But still, at the same time, we can relate with the woman there at Jacob's well, is that you're always going to need to go back and to draw more and to drink more. And yet, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is able to satisfy. And in the context, not only here in John chapter 7, but throughout the entirety of the New Testament, our God reveals is that this drink in Christ, this opportunity for living water is open for everyone. It is offered to any and every soul that is willing to come unto Him. Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15, come unto Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We understand, as He teaches in the context here too, though, is that God desires for every soul to come and to be a child of His. But yet at the same time, in order for man to have a relationship with Him, we must come through Christ. We must do what God commands us to do in order for us to have this living water, this spiritual relationship with our God. Well, what is it that God requires of us? Good people, we must recognize our need for water. The body is created in such a way that from time to time, we know whenever we need to eat as well as whenever we need to have drink, or whenever we need to have water, or in my case, a sweet tea. In that, the stomach goes to grumbling when we need to be fed. The body has ways of telling us from time to time that we need to have our thirst quenched or to to put water or fluid within our body. This morning I left here with somewhat of a headache, and Don said, well, maybe you're dehydrated. And we went to eat. I drank a lot of sweet tea, and my headache went away, Mike. It was just wonderful. And that was the body's way of saying you need to realize that you need to be hydrated. And God says, whenever it comes to the spiritual that He places within us, it is innate within man that we ought to want to know our God, but also that we ought to want to serve our God and our Creator. And we need to realize just how much we need God, and that it's only through Christ. Remember Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man to direct his steps. Our God wants us to turn to Him. And in turning to Him, He promises that He will supply all of the needs that we have in life. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. Why does He do that? And what does He want? According to what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, he says, cast all your cares upon me. Why? Because God cares for us. But yet at the same time, He wants us to recognize or to realize the need that we have for Him. Yet at the same time, from the context of John chapter 7 and verse 37 and 38, good people, we also understand that we need to come to Him. In John chapter 8 and verse 24, our Lord teaches us that unless we believe in Him, on Him, that He is indeed the Son of God, that He is the Savior of the world, that He is God's only and eternal plan for the redemption of man's soul, man will die in sin. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except through me. Good people, if we want to have our Heavenly Father as our Father, as the salvation that, if we want the salvation that He extends into mankind, we must come unto Christ. And in fact, in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We must come to Him. But in coming to Him, there's more to it than that. We must drink from Him. Note the context of John chapter 7 and verse 37. He says, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. So it's more than just coming. It also requires action. It requires work. It requires us to be dedicated to Him to the point and to love Him to the nth degree, to where we are willing to do what He commands us to do. To what level should we come and to drink from Him? Good people, I believe that we ought to have the attitude that the psalmist portrays in Psalms 42, verses 1 through 5, where he says that as a deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. We ought to long for that which our God has for us in Christ, but yet at the same time, we ought to long for the Word of God and to consume it. And as we consume God's Word, then to be led by the direction that He tries to take us. And in the book of John chapter 6, verses 52 through 58, Jesus identifies in the context there that man must eat of His body and drink from His blood. Roman Catholicism misuses and abuses those verses there in that to teach a false doctrine concerning transubstantiation. And in that, they assert that whenever a man partakes of the unleavened bread, that it becomes the literal blood or the literal flesh of Christ. When they partake of the fruit of the vine, that it literally becomes the blood of Christ. That's not what Jesus is saying here. In John chapter 6, 52 and following, Jesus is saying, you need to eat of the bread. You need to drink of the blood. You need to live your life as I have lived my life. You need to make sacrifices in your life as I have made sacrifices in my life. You need to put God's will above your will as I have put God's will above my will. You need to look beyond this life as I have looked beyond this life unto heaven. He wants so much for you and me to drink of Him, to become His children by putting Him on in baptism, but also to continue to live our life faithful before Him. You see, as we partake of that which God extends to us in Christ, then also we have an obligation in order for us to maintain that relationship and to continue in life, to have a spiritual life, to live eternally, good people, to have the soul dwell eternally in heaven with God, rather. We need to stay connected unto the water source, unto Christ. To walk away from God is not an option, because if we do, then we lose our relationship with God. If we do, we are cut off from the source of eternal life. And therefore, we must continue to strive forward each and every moment of our life here while we have that opportunity and that blessing that God bestows upon us to be counted as His children so that we might dwell eternally in heaven with Him. Jesus says, and this will be our invitation tonight, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Are you connected to the life source tonight, to Jesus Christ? Have you confessed Him to be the Son of the living God? Have you submitted yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin? If not, why not? Why do you put that off? Why not confess Christ? Why not submit yourself to be baptized and then to be raised to walk in newness of life? If you're here tonight and you are a Christian, but you've strayed away from God, we want to extend our God's invitation to you also to have your sins forgiven through the prayers of the faithful Christians tonight, as together we stand and as we sing.